Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hello, and welcome to Warhammer, a beginner's guide to 40K. This is episode 5, Humanity Pre-Imperium.
Welcome back to Warhammer, a beginner's guide to 40K. My name is Eric. He wasn't kidding. He's actually just being silent. Say your name.
I don't want to.
Say it.
Mick.
Okay. That's Mark.
And this is Jordan.
Jordan. All right. So today is our fifth episode of Lorehammer. And we're going to be talking, our main topic is going to be humanity. We're finally starting on humanity. The main thing.
My favorite race.
Oh, that's very racist.
How could you? Wow. Unbelievable. I love
just like white people.
Oh my gosh.
Can't argue with that one, at least.
I like all races equally, even the face eaters. I would save them. The flawlips.
Face eaters.
So we're going to talk about humanity, everything up to M30, which is that's the creation of the Imperium.
Yeah.
So we'll do everything of like a basic framework of humanity, because there's the most about humanity.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about humanity until then.
I'd say most people would have the most in common with humanity.
I find that hard to believe.
Trust me. I've been doing this a while, and that's why there's the most on humanity, and most people play them.
I just think it's a numbers game, really. They release the most amount of human armies. A couple of things before we actually get into our main topic. Mark was doing some reading about the actual end date of the Eldar. And what he found is that it's between M25 and M30.
Yeah.
So the whole, like, fall of the Eldar and the birth of Slaanesh, it looks like it really takes that 5,000 years.
And up until then, they were just happy-go-lucky.
Yeah, well, obviously degrading, but...
Nope.
It's getting worse. No, yeah.
Nope. Everything was paradise, and one day M25 hit, and boom.
Boom. Murder.
Murder.
Murder. So, yeah, that's kind of puts in a little perspective of how long it really took for them to fall. And the reason that date is important is because you actually will see a connection between their fall and some things that happened in humanity's history.
Yeah.
Which kind of just brings it all together and makes it way more interesting.
Is that why we talked about the Eldar first?
Good question. Thanks for your question. Yes and no. The Eldar they've been around way longer. So yeah. It makes sense to start with the Eldar.
Yeah.
Some people might notice that a lot of the coverage that we do can seem very sparse and not completely fleshed out.
Yeah, and there is a reason for this.
We are aware. We know. The reason is because we'd rather you have a framework.
Yeah. So right now we're just kind of building the universe so everyone knows what's going on. And then once we've kind of set the backdrop for the entire universe, then we're going to go back and touch on things like that we kind of just glossed over.
Mm-hmm. Cause yeah. Then, yeah. No, he's right. Because if we dive right into a topic, say like everything that or the war in heaven, we like, because we could go more into the war.
Oh yeah, there's quite a bit that we kind of skipped or just glossed over, and
but it's more important that you have the grand understanding of what happens instead of us being like, all right, here's the named people of every person of the conquest that happened in the war in heaven. So.
Yeah, but eventually we will get around to
yeah.
Like, once we set the groundwork, we will be going back and picking topics that we're like, yes, this needs extra attention.
Right, yeah. And really, like, send us your questions, right? Like, if we can answer it really, like, swiftly and quickly, no problem. Like, no problem, we'll answer that really quickly. And then if it warrants, like, a full episode, we'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
So, I did have one question from someone, and I actually had a couple, but I'm going to put this one on Mark. Who's the most powerful figure, period? I like, this is definitely a topic for debate.
No.
Okay, you say that, and yet it absolutely is. So, Mark, you give me what you think is the most powerful figure. And it has to be in the 41st millennium.
Yeah, yeah. Would the Hive Mind count as a figure?
Darn it, yes. Yeah.
And I feel like the Hive Mind is the most powerful because you can't really kill it. We don't know.
You could. It's like the internet. It would take a lot, but you could get rid of it.
Fair enough.
Heresy. Heresy. I'd say probably the Hive Mind from the Tyranids.
That's actually a really good answer. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Because, not only is it incredibly hard to get rid of, it's also extremely powerful.
Yeah. Resilient.
Yeah.
And powerful and everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I honestly, like, I'm kind of stuck up between two. My number two spot is Malal. And the only reason I say that is because I don't think you can ever truly defeat him.
Sure.
But I don't think you can. He's not the most powerful.
No, I believe. Well, yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
If he can outlast everyone, do you really need to be the most powerful?
I suppose.
And then my probably number one would be Nurgle. How do you beat death?
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
So, and entropy. Like, he's...
Okay, so cutting out a chaos god, because that's, like, the easy go-to choice. Like, what would it be then? If there's
If you're going to cut out...
His question was pretty broad. It was, like, any character.
Yeah.
In the whole universe.
Yeah. And if you're going to cut out chaos gods, you don't get to pick the Hive Mind.
Okay, then I will pick a Hormagaunt, which is controlled by the Hive Mind,
right, but...
and can be reborn and regrown. And,
okay, well, is it the same one? It's not. Anyways, so, well...
Okay, you got me there, son of a bitch.
If don't pick the Hive Mind, then.
Okay.
Okay, how about this? Pick a living being.
In 40K.
In 40K.
Have you heard of Rebuk Gilman?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that better?
That is... okay. That's a great answer, though.
I'd rather stick with the Hive
Mortarion. No, I always pictured Abaddon as like one of the most powerful figures, really, because of the packs that he makes with the Chaos Gods for a mortal, because he is mortal.
Yeah, he gets such a hard time, but he definitely is powerful.
Yeah. Reboot, though, I totally skipped over the fact that he's back.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind, I still haven't fully wrapped around the thought that all the Primarchs are coming back. It's a good question. It's a great debate question, really.
Yeah, you could get sucked into that for a while. Yeah. You could lose friends over that one, I think.
I've probably lost friends over that. A couple girlfriends, at the very least. What do you mean you don't know who Abaddon is? Get out!
Get out! Take your stuff!
And I think with that, let's get started.
Okay.
All right. So, Mark is pretty much going to take over this episode.
So it's going to be awful.
Yeah, I'll keep us on track because he has a tendency to, let's just say, get distracted by butterflies and unicorns. So.
And My Little Pony.
Yeah, sorry. Again,
are you a bro?
Reinforcing the image of how wretched people we are.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so, Mark, take it away, and we're starting with the Age of Terra, but we're going back further.
Yeah, so when we left off last time, we were talking about the Eldar, and we took them all the way to M30, the Fall of the Eldar. We're going to jump back now, basically 25,000 years, 28,000 years. And during this time, it's called the...
Age of Terra.
Age of Terra. Let me pull up my phone and make sure it's on. And basically, this is the time when humanity got off-world and started to colonize the Sol system. There's not a whole lot of details that really happened. Like, it's pretty much... Like, they didn't have warp capability. They weren't fighting aliens. They were just colonizing the Sol system.
Yeah, like, it's really... Like, it starts in M3. So, it's us.
Yeah, pretty well.
Yeah, so, like...
There are a couple things to note. For some reason, they actually say, like, the Age of Terror happens all the way from, like, the beginning of humanity all the way until they colonize the entire Sol system. And there's a couple notable things that happen. The birth of the Emperor happens in 8 BC.
So that's... Okay, yeah.
So... He's been around for a long time. He's been doing things.
I can't wait for that episode.
Yeah. So once again, we're gonna just build a framework here. The Emperor is the leader of mankind. Yeah,
he's born in M8 BC, and that's all we're gonna get into today.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're gonna fast forward 11,000 years.
Yeah. So the other notable things that happened is, and I didn't know this, but apparently the three main Chaos Gods, Chinch, Nurgle, and Khorne, were all born during Terra's medieval period. I always thought it was just Khorne.
Same here.
But apparently it's all three of them. I'm sure, like, others had, like...
Influence.
Yeah, they weren't fully born, just kind of like how Slaanesh had his agents kind of out and about, but...
It's phenomenal because, when you think of what it took to birth Slaanesh, right? The Eldar... over thousands of years, like the most psychically potent race, and then humans in the medieval ages, and
we just get some strange rashes and then we birth Nurgle.
Yeah, really.
And then,
like,
we kill one too many witches and we birth Khorne.
Yeah. Well, that would be the martial aspect, because we need to burn the witches, Mark.
And then you just get too many weird love triangles between nobles and peasants and peasant
No. It's the game.
And that's how you...
No, the Game of Thrones is what births Siege. Yes.
Wait, is that true?
It all happened, trust me.
Oh my god.
I have it on good authority.
Are they going to make a crossover episode?
They better.
We can only hope. I would love to see a space marine just stomp and break down the ice wall. Like, he would just kick it and it would fall over.
So yeah, that's basically all that happens. Man just takes its first steps into the galaxy.
Yeah, it's really our progression.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they progress at the exact same pace we do, and then they colonize the moon.
Yeah.
And then they get to Mars, and then they get to Jupiter. But they never leave the solar system.
Yeah. And that's is about where being able to relate with the Imperium ends.
Yeah, but absolutely. Yeah.
After this, it starts to get crazy. So after this, we
really
jump
really in. Fun.
Really fun. We get into the Dark Age of Technology.
Also called the Golden Age of Expansion.
Oh, right. And basically, this is when humanity starts to... The key thing that really gets this age going is the Navigator gene. And what this is it's a gene... in humans that allows them to see into the warp and use the warp to travel. They also develop the warp drive, which also helps. Like, it's two things. Like,
it's the combination of both. Like, you can have the warp drive, which woohoo, now we have access to the warp, but my gosh, how on earth do we navigate it?
I almost think too, like, I'm not sure, this is kind of just my thought, but like, okay, so you get the Navigator gene, they're able to see all this untapped energy, and then they're like, how can we use this energy? Boom. Then they create the warp drive to utilize it. I'm not sure if that's the order it happens, but...
Yeah, and the Geller field is even something else.
Yeah. So, now humanity is able to get into the warp and navigate it. But since the warp is just roiling energy filled with like horrors and demons and whatever, they needed something to keep them safe. So they created what's called the Geller Field. And it's basically a bubble of real space that encompasses the ship. So when they go into the warp, they have this bubble of real space keeping them safe.
Don't forget the fact that you can cover things in reality and send them into the warp, because you better believe that's coming up later. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it really, it covers it in a bubble of reality.
Yeah.
And you enter a rift and go into the warp. And that's, in essence, like, that's how the webway works too. Like, the webways are covered in reality. Yeah. And that's how you can physically enter the webway without being torn apart.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the explanation of any way you enter the warp, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
And the smaller object that you're doing, the way easier it is. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, a Terminator can do it himself, right? If he's powerful enough.
A Terminator?
Yeah.
Sure.
Green Knight.
Oh, okay, I guess. Yeah. Sure.
Of course he could.
Like, the key would be to be a Psyker first, I think.
Oh, yeah, good call. But, you know, well, the Grey Knight. I was, in my head, I was thinking Grey Knights. I know where
you were going, but...
So the interesting thing about navigators, they aren't human. They're a subspecies.
Yeah.
So technically still human, but not fully human.
Yeah. And they are one of the few, like, mutants, abhumans, non-humans that are tolerated. Like,
yes. Oh. There's still going to be backwaters, obviously, but it's intolerated by, like, the Inquisition.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they are a 100% necessity.
Yeah. So, now we got humanity.
Did you talk about their third eye? I feel like you didn't actually talk about their third eye.
Well, okay.
They literally have a third eye.
Yeah, they have a third eye on their forehead that allows them to see into.
Yeah,
like
like
a triclops.
Really, like, it really is, it's a third eye in their forehead.
Yeah.
They have some other, like, differences that you may or may not have, but all of them have this third eye.
Or like Tien from Dragon Ball.
Right, exactly. Uh-oh. Except Tien
crossover.
Tien was a little girl and got slapped so hard.
Yeah. He was kind of useless.
Well, as soon as you can't fight a Saiyan god. Anyways, podcast number 7. So with this third eye, that's what allows them to perceive, like, the warp energy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not their regular eyes.
Yeah.
And then there's
some other facts about them too. Like, they actually have, like, extended lifespan of, like, hundreds of years. Like, some can live up to be 400 years old, and, like, that's part of their gene.
Yeah.
And the older they are, the more powerful they become.
That's actually directly proportionate to how much time they spend in the warp.
Mm.
Yeah. So
I guess.
Right. The more time that you spend in the warp, the more powerful, the more used to seeing the currents you are, the more, the bigger connection you have. It's good to note that they will go out of their way to avoid going close to the Eye of Terror. That's an M30.
Yeah.
But during, like, when they first started becoming, when they first started growing, it didn't exist yet.
Yeah, it's like, if you're on the ocean.
Oh my gosh, I'm stopping you right now.
You don't go towards the storm.
No, stay away from the
spaceships
ocean.
Spaceships or submarines.
Oh my gosh.
This is what happens when you let me lead. I tried to warn you, but.
Yeah. But they have this eye, and an interesting fact that I want to share about the eye is if you meet its gaze, you die an agonizing death. Right?
But I wonder, like, do you just, like, you see all the energies of the warp, and that's why? I wonder why that would be.
Yeah. I didn't read anything beyond that, but, all I read
one day we will have to do, like, an astropath, navigator.
A subhuman.
Like, type of astronomicon, all these kind of things that fit together.
Yeah. But. There's another interesting thing is they themselves are not psychers.
Yeah, that is kind of neat too.
Like, they cannot manipulate.
Yeah, they're not casting lightning bolts or nothing like that. No.
All they can do is see it.
Yeah,
which affords them some protection, really.
Yeah,
because if you can't,
because if you're on an ocean,
and oh my gosh,
and you see the storm over there,
get out. No, it's like, because anytime you touch the warp, it's the two-way street.
Yeah,
but if all you're doing is looking at the street, you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the navigator. So that would be the number one that allowed us to enter into the dark age of technology.
Yeah. And as all technology, it just keeps getting better and better and better, and new advances are made. So, like, they're able to now terraform planets, and that helps them. They're able now to, you know, just do all these technological wonders that allows them to increase their foothold in the galaxy.
Yeah.
They're able to build bigger ships with stasis fields or whatever you want to go into. Any sci-fi mumbo jumbo, basically.
Yeah. But you're right. Like, it's just the rate of, like, progression on technology is, it's exponential.
Yeah.
Right? So as soon as you make one leap, the next one isn't that far behind, and the next one isn't that far behind.
So it really doesn't take them too long until they start running into other alien races, like the Xeno, or like the Eldar and the Orcs and probably other ones, but...
Those would be the two main ones.
Yeah.
Anything else we can pretty much take care of.
Yeah. Yeah, there might be one planet of them, and then that's all.
Right. But
the Eldar and the Orcs, you definitely will run into over and over again.
As soon as you become a galactic player, like, the scale that you deal with things changes. Because if you run into a planet and, like, the inhabitants are hostile, whoop-de-doo.
But they can't get on
the planet. Can't leave the planet, so you just, like, ignore them, or you virus bomb them. It's fine. Either way, it's now your planet. But yeah, as soon as they become a galactic player, that's when the Eldar and the Orc really start making a big deal for us.
Yeah. Also at this time, the human psychic gene begins to flourish and they start to develop it. Because up until now, there was no human psychers. Or there were very few.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
It begins to flourish and actually become a thing that is accepted by science.
Right.
Is the key.
Yeah. On most of, like, there's a lot of planets where when the psyker gene first, or when the ability to, like, use the warp, like, you still get burned as a witch.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're using sorcery and magic. And then on, like, the more enlightened worlds, it's, like, scientifically proven.
Yeah. It's like this progression where, okay, so the navigators came, they're able to see the warp, so they're able to verify, like, the warp exists. Then they're able to build the warp drives, and then they're able to go through the warp, and then they're able to verify psychers exist because they know the warp, and they know where that power is coming from.
Yeah, it's a logical progression, really.
Yeah. And, so psychers begin to flourish. Humanity spreads out across the galaxy. Another big thing that helps them do this is it's called an STC, a Standard Template Construct. And basically, it's the best IKEA manual you'll ever see.
Right, except where IKEA manuals are garbage.
Okay, so I hear that all the time, but I've built so many IKEA things, and I find they're fine.
Well,
sure, the furniture is shit, but, like, the manual is always good.
You must,
like,
be 2% Swedish or something.
I don't know. I find it's like, okay, put this knob in this hole. I've done that before.
Have you ever seen...
We've all done that.
Have you ever seen the Swedish... like the IKEA manuals that it, like, it shows a guy and it's just like a single guy holding it, and it's like the do not do sign.
Yeah.
But then it shows a guy with a friend and it's like a good check, and they're like having they're like putting a thumbs up saying, like, you, what they're saying is don't do it alone.
Yeah.
Like, you need a friend to do it. But what I get is, if you have no friends, you shouldn't buy this furniture.
Yeah. So you're buying a queen bed.
Right.
This is a 2-person bed.
Yeah. It's like I buy a piece of furniture and I'm unpacking it in the living room. And then I see this thing that says, like, don't use one person, use two. And I look around, and there's no one there. Kind of just drop it and walk away, I guess. Yeah, exactly. Slowly realize that, you know, you just circle the drain of eternity alone eventually, and you get flushed down the universe's toilet. And...
Wow.
So life is all good for me right now.
Sounds like it.
Anyways, but you're right. It is, like, it's a manual.
Yeah, and basically they're able to put down, like, anything you need onto these STCs, and then when they send out their fleets, they have, like, all the knowledge of humanity and how to build these easy things.
Yeah.
Like, so easy that, like, literally anyone can do it. Like, you don't need a background in technology to do it. Anyone can build it. Anyone can build this awesome spaceship.
Yeah, really. It, like,
and this plays a big part in, like, later development of the Mechanicum and stuff, which we'll get onto. But just keep this in mind. This kind of, anyone can pick up these things and just make this technology, but no one really, like, knows how it works.
Well, in the Dark Age of Tech, they did.
Yes.
When it was being developed,
but, like,
there was, there
when,
was that
when
understanding.
When the STCs were made, the people who made the STCs knew how to make this stuff. But like the standard person could pick it up and do it.
Yes.
They don't necessarily know. And I'll touch briefly on this. One of the main armies in 40K is Imperial Knights, and this is one of their... This is when they start to make their presence... I'm getting a smile from
him. Well, it's because Mark is so excited to talk about Imperial Knights. We were discussing what we wanted to put in this episode, and I was like, yeah, we're good. We have everything down. And he's like, Eric, quick, maybe yes, no. Let me talk about knights.
Just a brief Well, they play a big part.
Okay, go
basically,
on.
Basically, they're 50-foot tall robots, but when they were originally made, they were made for, like, clearing forests with their giant chainsaws and, like, moving logs with their giant claws or, you know, they were built
they're
or blast...
Like- Big industrial machine.
Exactly. Yeah. Blasting apart rocks with their battle cannons. Like, they were used for, like, yeah.
Like industry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Labor.
And then,
labor.
And then, like, yeah, they would get invaded by aliens and stuff, and then they'd go to the defense side of things. But they were not, like, an active military.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say. Because they play a big part, and they come up later, and they play a big part.
In the expansionism of man. Yeah, yeah, sure. Okay.
They do.
Like, at some point, Mark is going to splurge all over an episode about his Imperial Knight chapter, but that's fine.
It'll be clearly labeled, though, so if you don't want to listen to your ad for 4 hours,
it'll be like 10B.
Yeah.
Like an add-on.
Aw.
Okay, so you have these SDCs, which are, it really is the how-to survival guide of how to, like, flourish as a human.
Yeah.
Right, like you can go armed with a bunch of SDCs to a new planet, and you can be confident in your ability to colonize it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what planet you land on, mm-hmm. you get it done.
Yeah, because it would have instructions on how to terraform. It would have instructions on how do you grow food.
Yeah.
Right. How do you provide food? How do you provide shelter? How do you provide transportation? How do you deal with like a government? Like it was an SDC for everything.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the government one, but.
No.
No, like because that's not like a. Maybe. I don't know. I see it more as like an actual physical thing, like physical objects, how to make physical objects than a political body, if that makes sense.
Kind of. I also saw it like it's also knowledge though. Because a physical object isn't gonna tell you how to harvest. Like what's the right time?
IKEA manual for how to do a political body is it's like five guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like all
thumbs up. Yeah. And then listening to other people, like all more thumbs
okay.
up.
Okay.
And under the what not to do section, it's one of those five guys getting an evil smile on their face.
Yeah, he's holding
and
like a knife
stabbing other people. That's what's not to do.
Yeah. But just to show you like how minute an STC can be, there's two Space Marine Scouts in 40K. Well, I don't know what date they said, but...
Yeah, at some point, it's after this.
Yeah.
It's when SDCs become really rare.
Yeah. But they find, like, a combat blade that is sharper, more durable, and lightweight.
Yeah. Stronger, sharper, and lighter.
Yeah.
So they find an SDC for this new blade.
Yeah. And basically, they're hailed as heroes, and they're each given a planet. So two planets are given, like, one to each of these Space Marine Scouts... Who
for a knife?
For a knife. So, like, this just shows you
how they're valuable.
How valuable they are, but also how literally anything that you can think of, they had an STC for.
Uh-huh.
So you could build anything you want, and it's just So with these technologies, the warp travel, STCs, knights, and
oh gosh,
they're able to colonize the galaxy.
They start expanding. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, their technology brings them to create AI.
True AI.
True AI. And this does not end well.
No. Which it never does.
No, it never does.
I've never read a fiction where it ends well.
Yeah, exactly. But here's one more for the books.
But basically, they're robots, and they eventually... rise up and they start fighting the humans and it turns into this big whole thing and it's a huge galaxy spanning conflict.
It's galaxy between, it's not just on one planet.
Yeah. And the other neat thing was too, it's not just between humans and the Men of Iron, it's between like life and this AI. So like they're presumably would be like Eldar fighting them and orcs fighting them because the AI see everything that is not AI as inferior. So that was one nice or interesting point.
There is the progression from the Men of Stone.
Yeah, they make a couple. Like, so they would make Men of Stone, which would be like
and a
toaster oven that has access to Wi-Fi, so it has all the internet, so it's intelligent. But it's not true AI, where then the Men of Iron are true AI.
Do they have like the concept of like virtual intelligence? Because, like, now we... That's, like, the thing that precedes artificial intelligence is, like, a virtual intelligence. It's only as intelligent as it's been programmed to be. But it can still...
Yeah, that'd be, like, the Men of Stone, I think.
But like, that's, like... That would be such a small, minute step that what they took that they don't even mention. They're just like, we expanded, and then boom, then we worshipped science and we had AI.
Yeah.
Right. It also says that in the Dark Age of Tech that science became their worship.
Hmm.
And like they viewed it as like a god.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, really, it does. Like when you start, think of like, it's actually very similar to the Eldar. In how they created all these machines that did everything for them, humanity was really following that same path.
Yeah.
Until we screwed up and created the Men of Iron.
Which turned on us. Oh, so there's one good example of where, like, oh no, maybe the Eldar's robots weren't AI.
I don't they remember were just hearing robots, that. Yeah, they were just robots. That was more just the laziness aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have a huge conflict with them, and... We'll touch more on the Men of Iron later, but basically, galaxy-spanning war with them. And eventually, they're able to kill all the Men of Iron and wipe them out.
Yeah. And then it actually becomes illegal.
It does, yes. Yeah. And we'll touch on that in a bit. But basically, they outlaw AI.
Yeah.
So then we basically now... humanity and a lot of the other races have taken a huge hit from this, and we start to get into the end of the Golden Age. And yeah.
Right around this time.
I'm not good at being the host.
That's okay.
So
there's three main points. When we talk about the end of the Golden Age, there's three main things we want to talk about. Number one would be that the psychers, like humanity psychers, lost control. So the beginning of the Golden Age, human psychers appear on, like, every planet.
Yeah, they just start popping up.
Yeah, like, it is crazy how many are starting to pop up. And there's theories behind that. so at the end of the Golden Age, what kind of, like, the precursor is, it's happening around M25, 23.
Yeah.
Like, M23 to 25 is, like, when the end of the Golden Age is happening. Now, when you correspond this... with what was happening with the Eldar at the same time, the Eldar are beginning their descent. Mm-hmm. So they are contributing to these warp groans of Slaanesh. So you have all these human psychers who are untrained.
Yeah.
And it's a new science for us.
Yeah.
And so we're exploring, we're trying things that we don't know are bad yet.
Yeah, because we are still not aware of like demons in the warp or whatever.
Not to the same degree. Yeah, not absolutely. It even says that it is surprising how little demonic possession there was of humans at this point in time. So you get these psychers. They are starting to lose control because of the warp. So the warp storms are increasing because of the Eldar, which severely limits navigation in it. Severely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I was waiting for your affirmation.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. That's what I needed.
So
the increase in warp storms, which helps to the psychers to lose control.
Yeah. So once again, warp storms are like just pockets of reality and the warp like
colliding
and creating pockets of unstable space.
Yeah. Like, or it's just energy, and this energy all of a sudden lashes out and becomes unpredictable.
Yeah.
Right. And so then. What really signifies the end of this age was that massive war with the AI. And then warp storms, like, truly manifesting.
Yeah, and these warp storms manifest all over the galaxy, and they actually start to cut off humanity from each other.
Because if all of a sudden now we're in sublight travel, how many thousands of standard years does it take to travel from one solar system to the next?
Exactly, so... Yeah.
So before, where we could, like, hey, we need, like, our army over here, we need food supplies over here, we could just...
And that was actually, honestly, the biggest thing was the food supplies is what they were saying. That's all.
Yeah, I read that...
Feast and famine.
I read that Terra had, like, a massive famine.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Especially because it turns into, like, a world city,
mm-hmm.
right? Where there's not really any agriculture on it anymore. We imported it from other planets, so...
Yeah.
It survived solely... on the ability to bring other food in. And when all of a sudden warp storms come and you can't use the Geller fields or the warp drives because even the navigators can't see what's going on, you're cut off.
And even too, you said like it was a giant city. It might not have even been a giant city at that point. Have been just due to sheer pollution and over harvesting resources.
Actually, yeah, you're right.
That's why it could have had to import. Not that it matters, just a thought.
Thanks, Mark. Keep me honest.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that kind of signifies the end of like this big expansionist age. Yeah. So what's interesting to note is that while like there's two very opposite names for this era.
Yeah, the Dark Age of Technology and
the Golden Age of Expansion.
Yeah.
So it was like a time of amazing like prosperity for us because we spread it across the stars, but the consequences of what we did like cause us to look back on it as like a very dark time.
Yeah.
So it was completely necessary, but it had some terrible side effects.
Yeah, but it grew humanity as a race and taught us some things.
Yeah. So it's about 10 millennium? Millennia?
About 10. No. Okay. Yeah, 10? 15? 10. Sure.
10. It was crazy. Like, that was when humanity really spread.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess 10 from 15 to 25.
Yeah.
Numbers.
All right. So when the Dark Age ends, that's no good time for humanity.
Yeah. And now we get into the Age of Strife, or the Old Night. And this is when humanity is basically divided. Some people can't even get to the planet next to them. Everyone's just kind of left to themselves.
Yeah.
There are some pocket empires that have formed, and they're able to keep some small little areas going. But yeah.
And the reason because of this is it's all the warp storms.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Which is, it's really the growth forming of Slaanesh.
Yeah.
So that's where you see the similarity, like
that and all the psychers, but definitely, right. I'm sure Slaanesh played a huge part in it.
Yeah.
The birthing pains. And at this time, too, a bunch of like minor humanoids started to happen because they just started.
Well, you're cut off.
Yeah, you're cut off. There's no longer stuck on, you're no longer able to go across and mix your genes.
Yeah, you can't diversify enough. So you get a planet where like the gravity is four times stronger than Earth. Over the course of 3,000 years, there will be divergence in what one person is versus another.
They'd be like dwarves.
Yeah. They called them squats.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I've read that like if humans were to like live on, like this is a real world example, but if we lived on Mars, eventually, after a few generations, if we were to like breed, like we would start getting a lot taller because the gravity is so, because our bodies would be adapting to the. Well,
Even like us, like versus a couple thousand years ago, like our bones are way denser.
Yeah.
Just because like we withstand way more force, like in vehicles.
Yeah.
Right? And like our
skin. And we're all usually bigger too now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really more interesting. So, food, so you think about that, and then the conditions are way more different, right, on the other planets.
Yeah.
And then it's thousands of years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we develop all these different ones, and what's actually kind of interesting is like they're still humans.
Yeah.
Kind of. They're subspecies. They're called abhumans.
Oh, I was about to say something bad.
Oh no! What were you gonna say?
It involves.
Okay, that's fine. But
something bad.
Like, they're called squats, but they will develop entirely separately. Like you'll have a planet of squats, and then a couple solar systems over, you'll have another planet of squats.
Yeah, with their own culture and their own things going on, and So some of the main things that developed we'll just touch on quickly were Augrins, and these are kind of funny. They're basically like giant dumb humans. Like think of like a giant muscle head, basically, and the way they came about was they had prison planets and they would ship all the prisoners there and eventually
think Australia
sure
yes. on a planetary level
and eventually like when the Old Night happened they couldn't release prisoners, they couldn't get new prisoners, but basically the prisoners eventually took over and they just had to breed with each other, these big dumb brutes breeding with big dumb brutes to create bigger, dumber brutes.
Yeah.
And the strongest survive, and like...
And over the course of thousands of years.
Yeah. So they're just these big hulking... Like, yeah. They're bigger than Space Marines. They're like 9 feet tall, like huge.
Yeah. But they lack intelligence.
Yeah. And there's other ones that are born, like beast men, ratlings.
Well, I wonder how beast men are made.
One can wonder.
Like, I guess it just depends on the conditions, what will help you survive the best. Yeah. And that's kind of like...
Exactly.
It's like the selection.
Yeah, right? Because you're cut off from everything that might help you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got all these different abhumans happening. And also, psychers keep popping up too, which is the other big thing. And they just keep making things worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. So yeah, these are the consequences of the isolation between the human planets.
Yeah.
So you get your abhumans, you get your pocket empires, and then you get your increase to like psyker population. Because the warp is just so active right now.
Yeah. And that's really the old night. Like, it's basically humanity falling apart. Until about M30. So the birth of Slaanesh has happened.
Yeah.
The warp storms are starting to calm down now because, like, Slaanesh kind of took a lot of that energy and started to kind of...
Yeah, he took it all into himself.
Yeah, itself. Exactly. So,
herself.
The self.
The self.
Mm. And yeah, so basically now the galaxy...
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
It's kind of starting to settle a bit. And this is when, remember that guy, the Emperor?
Hey, I know him.
He starts to step in. But I guess before we talk about him, we'll go to Mars.
Okay, yeah, it's pretty important.
So humanity starts in the Sol system. So we'll kind of start there and we'll work our way out into the galaxy. On Mars, they basically... developed a cult that started to worship technology.
100% during the Age of Expansionism, right? Because that was when science became, like, revered.
Yeah, and one of the reasons for this is because, like, during the... I've lost my train of thought. I'm rambling.
He's struggling.
Ah! There's something. Do you got anything to say?
Well, the Mechanicum.
Oh boy.
Like, what's really important to know about the Mechanicum is technically it's not a part of the Imperium.
Yeah, when that does happen.
Yeah.
And there's even rumors that, like, the Emperor went to the Mechanicum.
Don't do this! I was thinking about it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
No, and he set up the Mechanicum knowing that.
I love that part.
But it's nothing crazy yet.
I think it's sweet.
Oh, it's very sweet. But
if you're going to do that, then we're going to talk about the Void Dragon.
The Emperor's been around for 8,000... No, you don't. The Emperor's been around since BC 8. So he's been setting up, like, things into the right position that needs to happen in order for him to... to take over the galaxy. He's got huge foresight, and so he actually like starts to set up the Mechanicum, and the Mechanicum basically start to worship machines.
Yes.
And part of this is because during like when they made the Men of Iron and they like failed or they killed them, they started putting like a bunch of like holds on technology, like you can't do this anymore, you can't do that anymore.
Right. So it starts, the beginning of it is to protect us.
Yeah. So it almost starts to eventually become like a religion, like do this, don't do this. This is good.
Right.
This is bad.
And while there were reasons for it, like the grunts don't know that.
Yeah.
Right.
So it really, and you know, it seems kind of silly to think about, but over thousands of years, yeah, like just look what happens. Like people just, you start to lose information and things start to get crazy. So the Mechanicum starts to build itself. And during like the old night, they would actually like look into the warp. And every now and again, they would send out fleets into the warp. Or, yeah, like when the warp is calm, they would send out fleets to go to other planets and set up like more Mechanicum Forge worlds.
Yeah. So when, and, like a place, a base of the Mechanicum is called a Forge world.
Yeah.
So the Mechanicum, it's a cult.
Yeah.
It's very secretive.
Yeah.
Like, they guard their technology, like, very closely. There's a whole tech priest thing. But
they started to really build, like, their own, like, empire.
Yeah. Galaxy. If ever there was a pocket empire, it was the Mechanicum.
Yeah, but their pocket empire, like, literally started to span the galaxy. Like, now it was nowhere near reliable, and it was nowhere near what mankind had before or will have in the future. But they did start to, like, kind of spread out. Yeah. So that's Mechanicum, very, very loosely.
Yeah, we will. There's way more to go back into for the Mechanicum,
which we will be. And that's one of the tough things too. It's like, how far do you go? Like, do I say that? But then I have to explain that. But yeah. So that's Mechanicum.
Yeah. It started on Mars. It spread itself.
Yeah, and it turned into a religion of machines, basically, where knowledge is power, but you have to guard it.
Yeah.
So now we're jumped to Terra. And at this point, the Emperor's seen, like, oh, all these warp storms are starting to calm down.
This is at M30.
Yeah, this is at M30. All these warp storms are starting to calm down. Like, now's the time that I'm going to take over Terra. The Mechanicum's starting to do well, too. So now's my time to expand into the galaxy. But before he could do that, he had to take Terra. Right now, Terra was, like, held by a bunch of techno-barbarians, basically. Think, like, just, like, a Mad Max-type world, basically, where there's a bunch of little empires, and they're all doing crazy things, and none of them really knows how technology works, and they all just kind of just add on to this ramshackle.
Well, this is when that crazy famine is happening, too.
Yeah, so, like, food becomes rare, and, you know, yeah. So there's a bunch of these, like, barbarians on the planet. So he had to get rid of that and start setting up like his home planet. So he created what are called Thunder Warriors. And they're the first beings that the Emperor made that... Well, actually, I think the Custodes came first. I'm pretty sure they did. The Custodes are like the Emperor's personal bodyguard.
I'll take your word for it.
Pretty sure they did. Because they were there during that time. But they were basically just huge, monstrous brutes. They were stronger, faster, and the other big thing that they had was they had power armor. So
I was reading that techno barbarians actually were covered in powered armor.
Yeah, lots of them were.
And which was actually serves as the basis for modern day power armor.
Yeah, like thunder armor is what it's called.
The techno barbarians? Because that's what I read.
Well, both do have it, like.
Yeah.
But the Emperor's was better.
And obviously.
His soldiers were better.
Yes.
So
they were genetically engineered.
They were genetically engineered, and they had better weapons, better armor, and they had this being who's been around for thousands of years leading them. So eventually he takes Terra. He kills all the other leaders, and he takes Terra with these Thunder Warriors. During this time as well, he starts to work on the Primarch Project, which we'll get into later.
Yeah, which is a huge topic.
Yeah. But basically, he made the Thunder Warriors, and the problem with them is he made them so they died super quick. Like, they had super short lifespans. So they were not his tool that he wanted to use to conquer the galaxy. But he wanted to conquer Terra really quickly, so he made them.
It also says, according to myth, they were all killed during the final battle.
Yeah.
The Battle of Mount Ararat.
Yeah. You want to know who killed them?
Who did?
The Emperor.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's rumored, but it's one of those things that's rumored, but it's true.
He's like punching them all to death. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he no longer needed them because they were he didn't want these like they were not intelligent. They were just brutes.
They were larger than Space Marines.
Yeah, like they were just crazy fighting machines. But that's all. But that's not what he wanted to conquer the galaxy with. So he started a Primarch project, and at some point, stuff happens. Yeah, we'll get into that later.
He gets derailed on the Primarch project. He loses all his work, and then he starts, and this is M30, and he starts building his Space Marines.
Yeah, and that's basically all that happens in...
This is the founding of the Imperium. Takes over Terra.
Yeah.
He does go to Mars.
Yeah, and he sets up, like, a deal with...
Yeah.
I don't want to get into it.
I know.
So, yeah, that's all we're saying.
After the Unification Wars, that's when the Imperium of Man picks up.
Yeah.
So, we'll stop with humanity there for now.
Yeah, so the quick recap is from, like, M3 to M15, humanity starts to develop technologies. They conquer, well, they don't even conquer, they just colonize, really, the Sol system. Then from M15 to M25, they get the Navigator Gene, they get warp drives, they're able to spread out across the galaxy. They have the STC to build all these easy things, and they colonize out across the entire galaxy. Then M25 to M30, Psykers are starting to get crazy, with the Elder going crazy, warp storms start to happen. And the Old Night happens, and humanity is separated and isolated from each other. Then at the end of M30, Slaanesh is born. The warp storms kind of alleviate a bit. The Emperor rises up, takes Terra, and starts his plans towards conquering the galaxy.
Whoa.
What?
No, I'm just...
Oh, that doesn't happen?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, that's...
I bet he never crusades. That's my guess. Okay, so that's pretty much end of that part.
And that's a very brief skeleton.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Because there's a lot of topics in there that I want to talk about more. And, like, we won't be talking about for a while, but we will eventually.
He really likes to talk about Ogryns and and big men with muscles.
Not sure that's Christian.
No, I'm pretty sure that's you. All right, so I guess we'll pick it up on our subtopic. So for the next part today, we're going to finish off by talking about the birth of the Emperor. Arguably.
Father he? I don't know.
No, he's just called the Father. Or God.
Papa.
Papa. Papa Emperor. Without him, there's no Imperium.
Yeah.
Without him, there's very limited space travel.
Yeah.
So really, he's the precursor to everything.
If ever I was to choose a main character,
yes,
he would be the main character.
Absolutely. Yeah. From humanity's perspective.
Even from any point.
Really? Do the Tau really view him as a main character? Like the character?
Well, he plays probably the biggest role by himself on the entire galaxy.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know whether or not the other races would agree.
Well, they don't have to. Well, that doesn't mean that subjective. They're right. No, do the Tau have somebody more main of a character than they do? You probably can't even name one Tau character.
This is just Mark's human prejudice showing.
I will.
So racist. Unbelievable.
But yeah.
There are other races out there, Mark. He's definitely he's the guy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the birth of the Emperor, 8,000... MBC 8 oh gosh
8,000 MBC yeah.
M8BC
yeah
okay so this guy like it's so long ago in humans history that it's not really 100% what happens
and the Emperor does not share his secrets lightly
or at all.
Sometimes he shares but then he usually
here is a little gift my son then he burns your eyes out.
yeah
That's another story for another day, though. So probably the most accepted version of his birth is pretty simple, really. There were shamans in, like, the human culture for a very long time, and these shamans were actually human psychers. And,
like, probably the very first ones. Mm-hmm.
But they were also considered very powerful.
Yeah.
And at some point, they mastered the ability to reincarnate.
Yeah.
So similar to how an Eldar's soul would go into the warp when they die, these shamans would go into the warp when they die and then be reborn.
Yeah.
As a human, and then they could continue leading their tribe of people upon Terra.
Yeah.
So
they eventually became, like, so powerful that the Chaos Gods took notice of them, it says.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why they do what they do.
Yeah, which is the Chaos Gods notice, and as soon as you attract the attention of a Chaos God, or even Chaos, like, spawn, right, you kind of sense the danger that's coming for you.
Yeah.
Right, so all these shamans start getting these visions, these dreams, reoccurring nightmares of the danger that's coming.
Yeah.
So they enter into a suicide's pact to create the new man, as is what they called him.
Yeah.
So all of them decide, okay, we will all die together. We'll pool all our energy, our souls, in the warp.
How many goats do you think they also did during the sacrifice?
Well, each death takes one goat,
yeah,
one virgin,
okay,
and one crone.
Oh, okay, perfect.
So
okay,
couple thousand.
Good to know.
Couple thousand. Yeah. That's not in the lore. So all these shamans get together and they kill themselves. They pool their energy in the warp, and then 1 year after their suicide pact, the new man is born.
Yeah.
So that's probably the most accepted idea, theory of how he was born. But he was born naturally, right? Like, he didn't just magically appear. Like, they reincarnated as a child that was being born.
Yeah. The other main one, which I think is even more main, is the Emperor is born of, like, natural causes, and he just happened to be crazy, like a crazy good psyker. And he ends up, what happens? He ends up killing his uncle or something? Or his father? Why'd he do that?
So humanity was super lawless at that time.
Yeah. Because
they're just tribes, wandering tribes.
Yeah.
So his dad dies. And as he's preparing...
Yeah, so Emperor's father was murdered by his uncle.
Yeah, but he didn't know that. So his dad dies, and as the Emperor is preparing the funeral rites, he has a vision of his uncle killing his dad.
Yeah.
And he acts on it, and he just goes up to his uncle and stops his heart with his psychic ability.
Yeah.
So the only... Okay. So.
The crazy thing about that is it says he felt no remorse or sadness.
Right. Like, he's above those emotions.
Yeah.
Because his powers started to manifest in his youth, or so the legend slash story slash myth goes, right? There's nothing conciser.
So I'm just curious, why does, like, Games Workshop put out, like, multiple theories rather than just writing something concrete?
So the biggest reason is the game's 30 years old, 30 plus years old, and it was just developed by, like, guys in a basement.
Right.
And when, like, they originally made it, like, it was almost kind of like a joke, because Warhammer Fantasy came first, and they would have their models. But then one guy's like, I'm going to make this OP model. And it was, like, the very first Space Marine.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, he had, like, this story, like, he come from a future planet and blah, 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 and he kills all these guys. But so from there, it eventually turns into 40K. But over, like, the 30 years, like, it turned from being something in the 80s where it was all, like, death metal and grunge
and hippies,
and they've slowly had to, like, tweak their history and their fluff, but they don't just, like, get away with lots of the other stuff that they said. So some of these things that we talk about come from back in the 80s, where it slowly gets added on to and added on to, or slightly tweaked, or, like, and sometimes when they tweak stuff, they don't, like, they don't say, oh, this one's no longer invalid. So that's probably, like,
there's also a thematic reason that they do that, right?
Adds to the mystery.
Yeah, there are
that
reasons
is also
that you
big,
don't
for sure.
share it all.
Yeah.
If you share it all, there's nothing to think about anymore.
Yeah.
So the whole, like, the way I see it more is that we don't know about it, and we get to guess.
Yeah.
Right?
And eventually Games Workshop does realize that that is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, because
for sure.
it creates communication and conversation between people, which is one of the most fun parts about it. Like, what do you think is the most accepted theory about this to me?
Yeah.
Like, one of the most fun parts is, like, what do you think about this theory? Like, why do you think this is the right one?
So what's, like, the source material for these different theories? Is it mostly, like, codexes or
campaign books or whatever.
Yeah. It's all stuff that's released by Games Workshop.
Yeah. Right. And like back in the day too, they weren't as tight on their IP. So they would have multiple authors like writing.
Oh, okay.
So it would sometimes kind of conflict.
Yeah, it turns into the comic book world.
Like, yeah, like non-canon.
It was never that bad, but it did kind of...
There were conflicting ideas.
And from first edition to second edition... Like first edition was just kind of crazy. Like, Space Marines were mating with Eldar, and that's how Marinius Kalgar was born, like a big Space Marine hero. Like, the ideas were very much crazy. And then in second edition, they kind of revamped the universe and tweaked it. But then, like, they never really did away with some of the first edition ideas.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool, though.
Yeah, and they kind of just, well, whatever. Like, if you want to think it happened, great. If not, great. Like,
so there's a lot of things that even Games Workshop will put out that even they say might not be true.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Because that's the other thing. Like,
it's all written, because it's all written from the perspective of humanity.
Yeah.
So it's like, if humanity writes something, that author in the lore says, this is just a story, or we think this is how it happened.
Yeah.
So... Because it's all written from, like, their perspective.
Yeah.
So there's...
Well, we're finished... Yeah. Sorry, what?
No, saying? Keep going.
Well, I was going to finish off with the second idea of the Emperor.
Yeah.
Basically, so the uncle kills the father, the Emperor walks up to the uncle and stops his heart. And he didn't feel bad about it, but at that moment he realized that humanity needed law and guidance.
Yeah, and that's when he leaves, like, his tribe or whatever, and he goes into a city. I think they say it's Sumeria. That's what they think he went to. And then he kind of just drops off. In either theory, actually, he disappears.
Yeah. And he just kind of becomes, like,
a guide.
Appears in different areas doing different things.
A notable thing about him is that he changes his appearance.
He can, yeah.
Yeah, and so he'll guide someone, and he might show up as, like, an old crone.
Yeah,
so,
and he's not calling himself the Emperor.
No. He's the man. Like, the shamans called him the new man, and we don't know any name for him other than the Emperor.
Yeah.
Right? So he, like, any kind of, like, guide you can see in humanity's myth is him.
Yeah.
Like, most in the Games Workshop lore, it's attributed to him. Hercules? Most likely him.
Yeah. Right?
Jesus, most likely him.
Yeah.
But Hercules was, like, long before 8 BC.
But the myth rises.
Yeah.
Right? Like, times start getting messed up. Like, who really believes? And 8,000 BC, is Hercules really before 8,000 BC?
Oh, it's 8,000 BC.
Yeah,
oh, 8, I thought 000. It was 8 BC.
No. M8 BC, which is 8,000.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Yeah. He, like, actually, like, every single person of, like, power wisdom, you can really...
Like, basically recorded history.
Yeah.
It's kind of one.
It's him. And he's always that player in it. Yeah, and that, like, that story...
So he could have been, like, Alexander the Great.
Absolutely.
Or Genghis Khan or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you said Genghis Khan, but, like, normally when people go down this path, they're like, oh, yeah, he was Buddha and Jesus, and they go all, like...
Peaceful,
but it's like, no, man, he was fucking Hitler. Like,
he's
the king of genocide. Hitler. Like,
if there was ever a guy who decided to purge, it's this guy.
I would think, like, just, like, because he seems like a character that wants to just expand humanity.
Yeah,
like,
he does not care about the individual.
No.
Yeah, so it would be more consistent that he would be, like, more of an emperor conqueror character than, like a religious figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, having said all that, Games Workshop is slowly, like, twisting it and kind of doing away with a little bit of this aspect of it.
Oh, really?
A little bit, yeah. But they haven't said that he's not.
Right.
But they are slowly taking the lore in a different direction. Because over 30 years, like, that sounded cool in the 80s, but not so cool now.
I don't know. I like it too.
Cool. I like it too. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, it's not guaranteed.
Right. And it never was.
No.
It never was. Like,
Like, back in the day, it was official that, like, he was Jesus. Like, I'm pretty
sure those things.
I'm pretty sure that, like, Games Workshop officially said that. But that was back in the 80s when, like, they were still just... they weren't making money off it. They're just joking around, you know?
It, like, I appreciate that as a theory.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So, like, just thinking of the theoretical origins of him, couldn't theoretically another person just as powerful as him be created?
Mark?
Like, why couldn't that be an experiment sort of be repeated?
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
100% I'm with you. Like, it... I don't want to talk about the sensei. So, in one... There's in the one theory where he's just a regular guy, absolutely. Like, statistically speaking, is going to happen, right? Because if it was just random chance, then random chance will always at some point happen again.
Right.
It might take a long time, but it will happen.
Yeah.
If it is the will of the shamans, then it gets a little different. Because then you need the knowledge, and then you need the people who are going to do it.
But even still, well, those were guys who didn't have knowledge of the war.
They did. No. They were powerful psychers.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And, yeah. But I thought, maybe I misunderstood. Like, I thought, like, when they're reincarnated, they had all their knowledge as well. They have all the memories of their past
life. Right, because it's the same person over and over.
And also, thinking about it, too, like, these two theories can kind of even work together. So, like, like, he's reborn. Then his uncle kills his father.
Oh yeah,
like they can work together.
Yeah, yeah.
Too.
The main thing I think to remember is that he is not, like, I would never say he's human.
Why though?
I would say he transcends the pure fact that he lives for 48,000 years.
Yeah, like, is he immortal?
Yeah, because he has such, like, high psychic powers or whatever. He can basically
keep himself. So you're saying that psychic ability is directly related?
No, I'm just saying that that is an ability some can have, but an ability that every psychic has.
It's not mutually exclusive, but I honestly can't see him being human. Like, at the very least, he's lost his humanity. As soon as he separates himself and he says, they need this... As soon as it becomes them and no longer is we, he's like...
I know what you're saying.
From, like, a psychological standpoint, he's lost his humanity.
Okay,
it's almost like humans are just his tools.
I would say more like children.
Okay. No, more like tools.
But it's not for him. He does it for humans. Like, everything he does I wouldn't say benevolent, but I would say he cares about humanity.
He cares about humanity, but...
But he is willing to do...
very big picture.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He does not care about you.
Yeah.
He cares about us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And whatever is necessary for our survival, he would gladly kill hundreds to save thousands.
Yeah.
Right? So, I really don't... Like, I wouldn't call him human... From a psychological perspective.
I know, but even
from a physiological, like, biological perspective, he can't.
Okay, so from the psychological, like, so if a crazy murderer is killing people and he's like,
lost his humanity, right, he's insane.
Does that make him no longer human? No, it doesn't. He's still a human.
But we literally call some people animals.
Yeah,
that's derogatory. Eric, come on.
They're still, like, biologically human.
Right, but he's purely talking about psychological.
He is? Okay.
In this instance.
But also, like, from a biological perspective, what he was born, he could have been fully biologically human. Sure, then he starts to mess with himself through psychic powers
or
whatever.
Yeah, could have, like, morphed into something other than...
Right, but at that point, isn't he no longer human? He has transcended.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, you
he
can
doesn't
say
he
that.
Doesn't need to eat.
Yeah.
Doesn't need to sleep.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't need to, like, he can withstand the warp by himself. But that's a lot of it, I think, is just his psychic capability. But I truly believe that he has passed the need for human. Like, all the things that make us human, like instincts, lust, survival, hunger, thirst, the need to be remembered or the need to leave something behind, like, that's because we're very short-sighted, we have short lives, and we just live in a burst. None of that he has. How could he really understand what it means to be human? I don't think he does.
So is being human all just the experience of being human?
Absolutely. Well, I'd say that's a very large part of it.
Honestly, this is a conversation way above my pay grade.
But I do think he has left something behind.
I think
a lot of that happens on Moloch.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that happens when he really understands what the Ruinous Powers are.
Yeah.
Right? Because when he's first born, the Ruinous Powers don't exist yet. They don't. Like, the warp exists.
Yeah.
And the warp is in chaos.
Yeah.
But the Ruinous Powers don't.
Yeah.
Right? So he's born, maybe he is fully human. Right? And yeah. he grows up, and in his middle years, that's when he starts realizing he's different. He starts getting his powers.
Touched.
But I truly believe he has left humanity behind.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that, but I still think he's a human. Like, sure, he himself mentally has left humanity.
Would you say that the Elder Gods are Eldar? Or are they something greater?
I told you, they're old ones. I told you this already.
I don't know.
No, sure, you can believe what you want to believe, but like,
I just don't think there's enough.
He was born from a...
Yes, that is confirmed.
So therefore you're a human.
Not necessarily. Yeah,
I agree with more of that criteria, though. Like,
sure, mentally, he is no longer a human.
A human can
barely... Maybe he's like a meta-human now.
Yeah,
like, a meta-human would be a better way to describe it. Like, I really think he's he's ascended to godhood in like in a very real sense, though.
Yeah, for sure. But
right?
Yeah.
Because
okay. Well, we'll argue this.
The reason I would say this is to go back to Jordan's thing of could it happen again?
Yeah.
And the answer from me is no.
Why?
It could not unless. Unless the Emperor died.
Uh-oh.
And he came back. That's the only way I could see it happening. A large reason why I don't think it could happen now is because the Ruinous Powers in the warp would stop it. Because all the souls had to coalesce into one unit.
Yeah.
And when the warp was calm,
not
as difficult.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now you have Nurgle, Khorne, Tzeentch, Slaanesh, all these people realizing what a danger another one of these emperors would be. 100% it would never happen again.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't even slip through those cracks because all that energy coalescing in the warp
would get noticed.
It would attract everything for light years around. Right? It would, like, that battle would, in my opinion, be bigger than Slaanesh's birth pains.
Yeah.
Right? Because, so I don't think it's possible anymore. I think I
can believe that.
I think, the situation was perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah.
And it's less of a statistical thing and more of this is the only time possible. So I don't believe there can be another one. I do believe in the Emperor's own ability to reincarnate, but that's... I don't know if we want to talk about that. But.
No, not yet.
Okay, so...
We'll talk about now Moloch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so at some point during the age of Dark Age of Tech...
Yeah.
So he travels to a planet Moloch with there's a human with him.
There is.
Sarvakar or Svoralia. Anyways, there's a human with him and there's actually a demonic gateway on this planet Moloch.
Yeah.
And he enters the demonic gateway and he makes a pact with the Dark Gods.
Who he might not even know. Well, at this point, I guess he does realize.
He would 100% know.
Yeah.
So this is a very, like, I like this bit of information.
Yeah, this is pretty recent, actually, that this has come out.
Because, like, the Emperor, while at this point he was powerful.
Yeah.
Right? Because we already know he had psychic capabilities. He's already lived.
He was functionally immortal.
He's already lived for thousands of years. But he comes back and it says the deal he has made is for a portion of their power and the knowledge to create the Primarchs.
And in return, he said that he would end up basically serving chaos and bringing humanity, like just leading humanity into chaos, which is crazy.
I didn't read that.
Yeah. However, for some... the Emperor did not keep his end of the bargain to spread chaos to humanity.
Ah, he didn't keep it.
He did not keep
that. That makes more sense. Okay, so...
So basically, he goes into the warp or whatever. He finds these, like, crazy beings and steals a lot of their power and realizes, like, these beings have to be.
I think he was deceiving them, really. Like, absolutely. He knew, he fully went in, yeah, like, well, knowing that he wasn't going to be
able to. Because if you think about it, like, the shamans knew that they were being, like, hunted by, like, fell energies. So he would know, like, the warp is bad, like.
Yeah, and at this point, like, he has the foresight to know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's so cool. Like, he goes in there. I just have this, like, sweet picture of him, like, because he's in his own warp, his reality bubble, right? Because the only way you can survive is to be wrapped in reality. So he, like, steps into the warp, covered in this reality bubble, and these four, like, pressures and energies just, like, I don't know. I just say that I would think they're attracted to him. I would 100% say they're attracted to him because of his psychic potency.
Yeah.
So then these things, and I can see him, like, bargaining with these, like, crazy voices, and, yeah, he's like, I'll do this and this and this for you. Just tell me how to do this. And
yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he makes a deal with these guys, and then he leaves, and he's way more powerful for it. He gains a lot of knowledge.
Yeah. He learns about the webways.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah.
It's
he starts to work on his grand project.
It's most likely that he was the one who helped develop the warp drives. I can really see no other.
Well, sure.
And
it's,
like,
quite possible.
Would you not attribute the navigation gene to him?
Like, that's entirely possible. I could buy that.
Yeah. Like, he's the one who seeded it, because the navigation gene is hereditary.
Yeah.
And if
the Emperor is good with gene technology.
Absolutely. Yeah, he has a very good understanding of, like, DNA.
Yeah.
And how to manipulate humanities at the very least.
Yeah.
And then it also says that if a navigator ever breeds with a regular human, the navigator gene dies out.
Yeah.
So if it ever gets in touch with a regular human and it ceases to exist, how could it happen on its own?
Okay, so here's a crazy idea then. So the Dark Age of Technology was the Emperor's first attempt then to conquer the galaxy and create humanity to be a galaxy-spanning, like, organization. But
why not? It got away from him.
Yeah, but then it gets away from him. So then he has to wait, the warp storms are happening, and then the time is right, and he's like, this time, there's no more games. I'm taking a direct role.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Right? So
I can see that.
He
that
starts giving them
neat.
Tech, yeah. Right? Because he's like, they can't be trusted with the warp. The warp's too dangerous.
Yeah.
So he starts giving them this tech, and then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, man, the tech runs away from itself.
Yeah.
And he's like, I should have started with the warp.
Hmm.
He's like, and so he goes to the warp because he's like, I'm going to need beings that are capable of mastering the warp. Really, it's the progression of the old ones.
Yeah.
Right? The old ones had all these beings, and they're trying to fight the Necron and the Satan, and they're losing terribly. So they create the Eldar.
Yeah. Right?
So the Emperor, he's trying to create, like, a sustainable empire for humanity. Through this tech, he gives them the Geller field, and he gives them the warp drive. Maybe he gives them the navigation gene, and then all of a sudden we get greedy and we build AI, and we build the Men of Iron.
Yeah,
right. And all of a sudden he's like, "Oh gosh, you fools!"
And at this point, it's not like he's some, like, galaxy leader where, like,
no,
people
he's still doing things from the sidelines.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? He has not stepped out yet. So
that's interesting, actually.
Yeah. Like,
I like that.
I really would point to every single change in humanity's history to him.
Yeah.
Right? Because as soon as he starts his pilgrimage, right, like, a couple years after he's born, his whole purpose is to be the guide.
Yeah.
Right. And so it is most likely.
And we do know that he had, like, the foresight to plan for his Imperium, because he does, like, end up
he's doing things for thousands of years, even on other planets.
Like, he basically sets up the Mechanicum,
right,
knowing that he's going to need the Mechanicum.
Yeah.
And then he just lets them do their thing.
And one of the whole reasons that the Mechanicum succeeds is because it is separate from Terra.
Yeah.
Right? If the Age of Strife had happened, if the Old Night had happened to the Mechanicum the same way it did to humanity, the Mechanicum would not have existed, because the Mechanicum continued, maybe not flourish, but it continued to grow during the Old Night.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Terra was effectively shut down.
Yeah.
During that happened, right? We regressed, like, we lost things.
So yeah.
He sets it up knowing that, okay, humanity is going to go through this massive struggle, but I'm going to need war machines and engines and
everything. When the time is right, I need these things set up across the galaxy so I can use
them. Yeah, he steps onto other planets and sets things up. He goes, so really, like, he is the only reason humanity got even a fraction of where we did.
Yeah, for sure. Which is pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Anything else? If not, I got one last final thought.
I'm more than willing to shoot it down. Shoot.
Final thought is read, if anyone wants to like read a little short story, it's called The Last Church by, I believe it's Graham McNeil. And what book is it in?
Oh, I'll search. It's
in, yeah, Eric will search. But yeah, it's called The Last Church. And really, it's the last church on Terra. And it just shows a lot of like the idea behind why the emperor does what he does, why he gets rid of religion, why he does all these things. So it's actually quite fascinating. If you want to learn more about the emperor's like psyche or whatever, read The Last Church.
Oh, it's just called The Last Church.
Yeah, and I know at some point it was put into a book, but I think it was also released alone and whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it won't ruin anything, or you don't have to read any other books to know about it. If you've listened to this podcast, which you have at this point, then
please keep listening.
It's a good step to learn more about the emperor. So that's the final thought I have.
Yeah, there's obviously way more on the emperor. It's cool to discuss like the individual things that he did. But it's its own podcast.
Yeah, an episode entirely for that. And we gotta wait, too, to set up other things. So, yeah, for the next podcast, do we want to tell them what would...
No, keep it a surprise. Okay. Make them come back.
Okay, so...
You gotta tell them about our email, though.
Our email, if you want to ask us any questions, is one word, all lowercase. It's lorehammerpodcast@gmail.com.
Isn't it Lorehammer 40K?
No, just the Lorehammer podcast.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Not only questions, though. Send us your funny GIFs. I don't know. I don't care. Send us a meme.
Whatever you want. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe not memes.
And Eric's Snapchat, if
you... Oh, boy. yeah. Send us your comments, questions. It's way more fun when we get to chat with other people who have crazy ideas. Send us your theories.
Yeah.
Like, what do you like best about the Emperor? And like, what's your coolest story of where you came from or something? Yeah. So, all right. Well, I guess signing off. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening.
Peace out.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. If you have questions or comments, please find our Facebook page entitled Lorehammer, our Twitter handle at Lorehammer40k, or our email address, lorehammerpodcast@gmail.com. Also, on iTunes or Google Play, please like or subscribe or leave a 5-star review. That would help us out a lot. Thanks. Have a good day. See you next episode.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.